One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. How about something short and quirky with a one-handed overtone and an Aikido twist? Okay, to everyone out there giving me a listen right here at One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast, one-handed stories with a funky, quirky, funny overtone. And this one has an Aikido twist on it. And it kind of ended up there, but it started there in a weird kind of way because I had this moment at an ATM just a few days ago, maybe 5 days ago. I was in my local Fred Meyer Superstore Mart, just going to get some food. I wanted to pick up some cash. So I went to the ATM machine, and I'm standing at the ATM, and I'm trying to work my whole angle, which basically means I'm trying to withdraw my cashola. Now here I am standing in front of the cash machine, pushing buttons, hanging out, and I notice someone rolls up on me. And they're certainly not there to use a cash machine because they don't come up behind me, they come up right next to me. And I just look over, and it's this young adult, or should I say older teen. He's probably 17 years old. He works at Fred Meyer's. He's got the little Fred Meyer apron on, and he's just looking at me. He's tall, good-looking chap, nice-looking kid, you know, just really just a good-looking human. And he's just looking at me, and he said, "Hey, man, did you used to teach karate?" Now, I know for a lot of people, all martial arts are karate. And I said, "Well, actually, I taught Aikido." And I could see him. He looked up to the left and then up to the right, trying to figure out, well, was it Aikido or what was it? And he just kind of came back to the moment and said, "Well, it doesn't matter, but I'm pretty sure I tried your class once." And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure too, but I don't think you were as tall then as you are right now." And he giggled a little bit and he said, "Well, I was pretty young. I was probably 5 or 6 or 7, but I just remember going to your school in the North End," and it was definitely mine, had thousands of young people come through. He said, "But you know what?" He's like, "Man, the arm thing threw me, or the hand thing," or the, then he paused and he's like, "Well, the no-handed thing or the one-handed thing." He's like, "Man, that really threw me." And then he looked at me and I was like, "Well, obviously it's still kind of throwing you right now." He didn't know what to do, to laugh or anything. He's like, "Well, I just wanted to say hi and tell you that I didn't stay because, you know," he's like, "you having one hand was just more than I could handle as a kid." And he just walked off. Now, I got to tell you, I've had very similar experiences many times, certainly in the Aikido realm, and certainly as a one-handed Aikido instructor, I have certainly had that. And I'll get to those in just a few moments. But I've had some other quirky interactions that are, well, funkalicious, transdripical, just out funkalo, unbelievable on one level, but understandable, if I can phrase all those words together. Once I was at a friend's wedding. She did yoga here in Boise, Idaho, and she got married. She used to rent space from me at my martial arts school at Three Shapes Aikido. And I went to her wedding, and they did some kind of holding hands ceremony or something like that. And to the left of me, my left arm is that arm that does not have the hand, but to the left of me was this really big, strong-looking dude. Just big dude. And I remember when they were talking like, "Okay, everybody now get closer together and I want everybody to hold hands." And I just, you know, I put my left arm out and he just looked and double took and pulled back and got real uncomfortable and just refused to hold my arm and just refused to look at me. I mean, that's how uncomfortable he was. Now, you don't want to touch me? Okay, I get it. But you don't have to be like that rude. You know, that was a little quirky. That was kind of funky. Those kind of hurt a little bit. But hey, you know, I got to give people the space that they want because that's who they are. You know, I'm not going to force anyone to do anything. But this other time, this was when I was riding my bicycle from Seattle to Chicago. And I can't remember what state I was in. It might have been Montana. You know, I had a great time biking through Montana. Actually, I might have been on the tail end of Idaho. I can't remember where it was at. But I pulled into this camp spot, wilderness reserve, national park camp spot, because I have a golden access pass and I can camp it at a way reduced rate and in some places totally free. I can get into all the national parks at no cost. I thought, oh, this is great because I'm mostly camping here. So I rolled in and there's like 35 people. They're all herbologists, natural medicine practitioners just kind of doing their thing. And they shined on to me. They're like, hey, man, come to our dinner, hang out. We're going to have a fire pit and this kind of thing. And now the fire pit's getting late. People are going to bed. And now there's like seven of us around the fire. And this one person's like, oh, okay, let's do this like mystical thing, but I need everybody to hold hands. In that moment, I just kind of realized, I was like, oh yeah, the strange things occur when this arises, and the lady, the young lady next to me, it was so funny because I was kind of looking down out of the corner of my eye towards my left hand, and she just naturally assumed that I have two hands, and she went to go reach for my hand that wasn't there, and she kept searching for it. She just kept searching for it. It was great. She's like, where is that thing? And then she went to look. And then that's when I did my million-dollar gesture. I just bent my elbow. And she just started cracking up and gave me this beautiful smile. And then she just grabbed onto my arm. And we went off and did our thing. So that's kind of the positive end of that. And sometimes, I've had kids cry when they see me. When I got close to them, when I was in Malaysia, I had that experience with a bunch of younger, Catholic school kids, maybe first, second grade, but I was invited in. Most of the kids shined on to me, and we got a huge language barrier, but a couple of them just totally started crying. I've had that happen spontaneously. Kids just freak out that I don't have two hands, and they just start crying. But on the other end of that, I've had kids come out of nowhere and just grab my arm, like, hey, mister, what's this? And that's always much to the chagrin of their parents, it covers a lot of area. Now, those are just cute, interesting, quirky, weird, oddball, one-handed experiences I don't think most people deal with. But it all started with an Aikido story, and it's going to kind of end there because as a one-handed sensei, I'm pretty aware that some people don't want to touch me. Or they don't want to, interact with me on that side. Or I even had this guy show up and say, well, I don't think there's anything you can teach me because you don't have two hands. It's like, well, okay, bro, there's the door. if that's the case, why are you still here? It's no problem. I have no problem. And I knew opening my school that it was going to take a special kind of student to stay with me. And, fortunately, in a 10-year period, I did promote 9 people to Shodan, to black belt. And I have colleagues have had dojos for 25 years, don't have anyone that has gotten to black belt. But the ones that stayed deep. And that's a real good thing because I trained a lot of kids and we did a lot of cool things and I made a big difference. But I knew back then that it would be a little weird. And then, as we progress, even with adults, it can get a little funky. And I just remember I kind of have a colleague that I don't see that much. He lives in Canada now. His name's Carl, and he used to live in Frank Durant Sensei's dojo. Really cool chap, just kind of, not quite mainstream, little off-kilter, just really cool dude. Only wanted to study Aikido, lived in the martial arts school, took falls for years. I mean, Carl, he's a great uke, man. Just guy takes ukemi like an angel. I remember training with him, and then later when we were hanging out partying a little bit, Aikido partying, which is pretty much like drinking tea or, drinking beer and that kind of stuff. He's like, oh man, he's got a great French-Canadian accent, I believe. And he's like, oh yeah, Alejandro Sensei, he's like that one-handed thing. He's like, that really screwed me up. But he dropped a little F-bomb in there. He's like, man, that totally was just like, I wasn't ready for that, But he's like, wow, you're really strong on that side. He's like, you're really centered. He's like, you have two different sides. It's like training with two different people. And I was like, I know, that's the bonus. You train with me, you get twice as much. And he was just right there. He's like, yeah, man, I even got to throw you different when you're taking ukemi on that short side. And it's so true. I mean, Carl and I really connected. We had an Aikido moment that moment. And then, one of his great mentors, Tissier Sensei, who's like the rock star of Aikido in France. I've done some training with him, and I took some Ukemi for him, and we trained a little bit. And he's like, oh, hey, Alejandro. He just kind of looked at me a little funny. He's like, so you have one hand? I was like, well, is that a question or a statement? He's like, well, no, it's just, he's like, you have your own dojo. And I just looked at him, and I just looked deep into him, and I said it with conviction. I said, we. Yes. You know, I gave him the little French thing, like, we. Like, yeah, I have my own dojo. You know, one hand, two hands, three hands, no problem. I mean, it was a difficult path, but I threw down. He's like, I got to tell you, I think having one hand is an advantage. You know, and we just went through this whole thing. He's like, because, you know, you can't grab. You're forced to connect with people. You know, it's just really, you know, it's interesting training with you, which I think is great because it has given me so much benefit in Aikido and understanding Aikido and doing Aikido. And I'm not a big chap, so I'm not really interested in the power of Aikido. Not that I can't use it or that I haven't taken down large humans, but that's not necessarily my intention. I'm really interested in connecting with people and helping people grow and having a great time on the mat and training deep and doing all that stuff. And, you know, if you don't really do Aikido, it can be difficult to understand or the martial arts or anything along those lines. But I think generally you can get a little gist of what I'm talking about. But I remember when the founder of Aikido's grandson came to California, the California Aikido Association was able to bring out Doshu. And I think it was 2003 or 2005. And that's Morihei Ueshiba's grandson. You know, that's the founder of Aikido, Osensei's grandson, you know, so he's Doshu, he's the man. And he came out with his Japanese entourage, so he had a bunch of people there. But one of his entourage, his minions there, his Aiki posse, was this very elderly Japanese woman. I mean, she was, later I find out she's like 78 years old. She's small, you know, she looks frail. She's got great Aikido, though. Let me tell you what, her Aikido was just so great. And I remember training with her, and she had such great energy. We just connected so well on the mat. It was beautiful. I love training with elderly women. You know, and I don't speak Japanese. She doesn't speak English. So it's just mostly connection. We're just kind of communicating through touch and doing technique and doing this kind of stuff. And I kind of got the sense that she wanted to take a high fall, which pretty much means I have to flip her through the air. You know, I flip her like, well, 360 degrees and she lands on the mat. And I mean, there's been people that have been 20 years old have broken pretty much, you know, broken, just really gotten hurt. I mean, you know, it really all depends on how hard people throw. If I throw you more than your capacity, you're going to get hurt. You know, and you really shouldn't like overdo people, like take people past their capacity if you're not a caring person. But anyways, I could tell she wanted me to kind of throw her in break fall. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I should do this, but I could tell she really wanted to do it. And as we were moving, you know, we both kind of got the feeling like, oh, here it comes, here it comes. And then the next thing I know... She grabs me and I turn and twist and I turn her and I just throw her in this breakfall, and it was all trust. Like, she probably hasn't taken a breakfall in a while, or probably hasn't been able to trust anyone for a while. But she got up and she, I don't know why, she kind of just grabbed my short side, maybe because that was a side she was holding on to when I threw her. But she got up and she just grabbed my arm. She kind of hugged my arm and then hugged me. She was so happy. And then she pulled out and then she just pulled back and started jumping up and down and clapping. She looked so happy. She looked like a 5-year-old kid jumping up and down that was so excited that they accomplished something. And in that moment, I just realized that I was like, oh, she trusted me to throw her, which is like, you know, throwing your grandmother to the ground. And I attribute that moment to having really good connection, which goes deep into just having one hand. And, you know, the funny thing about this whole story, like especially with the Japanese woman, it all started with that young kid freaking out back when he was 6, like 15 years ago, or actually it was probably like 11 years ago, and then rolling up to me on an ATM like, hey, man, did you used to do Aikido? You know, and I've said this many times in my podcast, there's a lot of great benefits of having one hand, but some of it is just sharing some of these weird, oddball, quirky, super cool, funky, one-handed experiences. So, hey gang, thanks for listening, and I hope you got something out of my slice of one-handed life. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.